go to the book of Lamentations. We should be able in this session to complete the essence of the book. And let's begin by putting two things together. One, the kind of people to whom the book of Lamentations was written, and then a listing of what kind of truth did God give to these people. So we'll put it under two headings then. Number one, the people. And then we will follow that with the truth that God gave the people. And in talking about the people to whom that formed the background for the book of Lamentation, we should say this, that for them, all that mattered was gone. And when we say all that mattered was gone, we are referring from everything to the spiritual to the material. What was needed to sustain them spiritually was gone. What was needed to maintain them materially was gone. For example, if we would work backwards, everything that was needed materially or physically for them was gone. Lamentations notes the fact that the parents, in order to survive, literally ate their children as food to sustain physical life. There was nothing to eat. There was starvation. And thus, everything materially necessary was gone. In terms of the spiritual, it notes that the roads to Jerusalem were empty. There was no worship. There was no leadership. Everything that really counted in life was gone. And this is interpreted as judgment from God. That is the interpretation. This was judgment for not listening to the Word of God. And that is the clear-cut interpretation that lies behind the book of Lamentations. To these people, we have the truth given. And the truth given in the book of Lamentations basically falls in five categories. And we're really asking the question, to people in this condition, what kind of truth did God give them? And there are several points involved. Number one, God gave them a book. God gave them a book that gave full expression to grief. God gave them a book that allowed for expression of grief. And as we have said earlier, important point made, that in a situation such as this, where there is oppression and there is suffering, that the Word of God here is teaching that grief is better expressed than suppressed. In other words, they fully expressed it. Look, for example, at probably the key verse in terms of grief, Lamentations 1 and verse 12. Lamentations 1 and verse 12. The city speaks and says, "Is it nothing to all you who pass this way? Look and see if there is any pain like my pain." So the expression of grief is simply saying the pain is incomparable. "You tell me," says the city, "any place that you can find pain as deep and as uncomfortable as the pain that we are expressing." And therefore it comes forth sort of as a challenge in verse 12. This is an area where we have a hard time identifying with the Old Testament. When I read about someone experiencing a unpleasant experience, they heap coals on their head, they tear their clothing. I don't identify to you, because the name of the game with us today is control yourself. Don't express grief. Don't let it out. Keep it in. How do we put it? All kinds of expressions. Keep a, can you follow it? Stiff, what? Upper lip. Don't cry. And the very essence of meeting a crisis situation is the area of control of the emotions. And that's not to say that that is not what the Word of God teaches. But how do you deal with the Jobs? How do you deal with the Lamentations, where you have enormous expression of grief that is there? And we'll get this in our second point in just a moment. But notice that God gives them a inspired book that says, I will allow you to express your grief, to bewail what has happened to you, to get it out, to say it, to express it. And that is part of the book of Lamentations. They had experienced the exile. Jerusalem was burned. They were out of their own homeland. The weak had died, and the rest were starving to death. And that was the condition they were in. And God said, in the midst of this, I'll give you an inspired book in order to express the grief that you are experiencing. Second element about the truth God gave them in the book of Lamentations. God not only gave them a book that expressed emotion, but God also gave them a book that taught self-control when expressing grief. They expressed their grief within the boundaries of self-control. And we might note that grief was fully expressed within the bounds of self-control. Grief was fully expressed within the boundaries of total self-control. Now, how do we know that? What is it that shows that the grief was in the bounds of self-control? And at the risk of repeating too many times, this is shown by the structure of the book. And the way that is shown is in the diagram we have made several times of the book of Lamentations. Which looks like this. And each of these represents a chapter or a poem. And the way the self-control in the midst of grief, and keep in mind they're saying, we challenge you, show us any grief that is like our grief. Full expression. And yet at the same time, remember, they were in control, because chapter 1 is a neat poem where every verse, 22 verses, chapter 2, 22 verses, chapter 4, 22 verses, chapter 5, 22 verses, chapter 3, 66 verses. So notice, the grief is expressed, but they're not without control. Jeremiah is able to write a neat, orderly poem, putting it together. As we've already noted, that the 22 verses of chapters 1, 2, 4, and 5 follow the form of the Hebrew alphabet. If we were to say A, B, C, D, E in Hebrew, we would say Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Daleth, and so forth. And chapter 1, verse 1 begins with Aleph. Chapter 1, verse 2 begins with Beit. Chapter 1, verse 3 begins with Gimel. Chapter 1, verse 4, with Daleth, and so forth, onto the end of the alphabet. And that is saying we are not flopping around out of self-control, But we can write a neat and orderly poem expressing our grief. And you go to chapter 2, exactly the same way. Verse 1, Aleph. Verse 2, Beth. Verse 3, Gimel. Verse 4, Daleth, and so forth through the rest of the alphabet. When you come to chapter 3, the very midsection of the book, you have every three verses. Notice, 66 verses. Every three verses beginning with Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth. Control is the central feature all the way through. Fully expressed emotions, but controlled by the mind. And thus, this structure says, grief expressed and controlled by the mind. Grief expressed and controlled by the mind. And the structure brings that across. And it's a guideline for us. Third principle, or lesson, coming off the book of Lamentations. God gave them a book. God gave them a book that clearly showed the cause of their grief. And that in turn gives us a principle. Let's notice that. Chapter 1, for example, and verse 8. Unmistakable explanation of why are they suffering like they are suffering. Verse 8 says, Jerusalem sinned greatly. You can't be any clearer than that. Chapter 1 and verse 18. The Lord is righteous, for I have rebelled against His command. And that is, again, a principle that we have not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. God never judges without full explanation. God never judges without explanation and warning. If you study the judgments of Scripture, inevitably God will say, I'm warning you, it's coming. And then when it comes and judgment falls, He will explain, here is why you are judged. And that is a principle that is always there. That's part of God's grace, that He gives opportunity for repentance. And in Lamentation shows very clearly the cause of their grief. Fourth, God gave them a book of hope. And that comes to, I think, a key to Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. And it's based on this logic. Divine discipline proves divine love. Divine discipline proves divine love. 3:19 says, remember, addressing God, remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, therefore. And I would say that little word, therefore, has to be a key, if not the key word, in the book of Lamentations. Therefore I have hope. And the reasoning is this. If God gave us no attention at all, then we could assume that He has no concern for us. But God hit us. God disciplined us. God chastened us, therefore He must be interested in us. It's very much like in a marriage. When you get to the point that you can't get angry and yell at one another, you're in trouble. I always am totally suspicious of the people that say we've been married 143 years and never had a cross word. Somebody's a wimp somewhere. Because when you are involved, when you are concerned, you have the capability to get angry. And thus, now that has to be within bounds, of course, of reason. But I think I mentioned to you a couple of years ago, some lady who told me, she said, you know, up until about a year ago, I couldn't stand him. Now I don't care. And that is simply indicating the last string is that there is no... And this is the logic that you have in the book of Lamentations. God is angry with us. And I take courage from the fact that he's angry. If he's angry, he must care. Notice that's also the logic of the new. Hebrews chapter 12 reasons that way. Hebrews 12. Verses 7 through 12. And notice the assumptions, the presuppositions, the logic that's behind all of this. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? In other words, discipline indicates relationship, and a very close one. But verse 8, if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons, and so forth, down through the 12th verse. And so the emphasis is that the relationship is argued from the standpoint that God disciplines you, and if he doesn't do so, then you could question relationship. And thus the logic of Lamentations 3 is that because God disciplines us, this must give us a hope that he is concerned about us and he cares for us. Fifth lesson. God gave them a book that prescribed a remedy. God gave them a book that prescribed a remedy. There was something they could do, and that is found in chapter 3 and verse 40, for example. Notice there is remedy involved. Let us examine and probe our ways. Let us return to the Lord. We lift up our heart and hands toward God in heaven. Notice there was a remedy, and the way back was through repentance. Sixth lesson. God gave them a book that showed the end of the light rejection darkness cycle. And we will make those words connected together with dashes. God gave them a book that showed the end of light dash rejection dash darkness cycle. We spent some time last week with that out of the book of Romans. The only thing I think that needs to be clarified in the light rejection darkness cycle is perhaps the word rejection is a little bit strong for the way that second part begins. So let's put parenthetically underneath it is this can be a take it for granted phase, a neglect phase. And the reason I put that in is because it's not presentation of light and they're saying, no, we don't want it. It's a presentation of light that may begin by, well, it's there, It will always be there. We have light. We have truth. We appreciate truth, but it's no big deal. Let's add that since we use that expression. It's no big deal. Type of attitude that assumes that it will always be there. The best illustration of a take it for granted, assuming it will always be there, I think it was probably, I don't know, time leaves me, but 5 or 6 or 7 years ago that Jane was going to the lake, and she mentioned that something about the heat in the house may be off. And it was electric heat, I think, if I remember the context of it. And that was no problem if the furnace didn't work. We've got electric blankets. And it's the assumption that, well, certainly you could always plug in the blanket. That's always there. That's part of our heritage. That's like breathing. And that is an attitude that we can so easily get on anything. And it's very often the way that the second part of the cycle is that light is there. It was there for my parents and my grandparents. And I'm sure it will be there for my children and my grandchildren. And that's a very dangerous attitude, which is a take-it-for-granted thing, simply because truth is such a delicate commodity that while truth in itself is strong, truth so easily slips away. And you probably are tired of my using the illustration of the fact that when we say today, the Salvation Army, what do you think of? Well, what else would you think of involved with salvation? The Salvation Army stands for redemption, propitiation, reconciliation through the cross work of Jesus Christ, right? Now, the Salvation Army, the word salvation has almost reduced itself purely to a physical matter. You think of the YMCA, Young Men's Christian Association. And if you want to know how to become a Christian, join the Y. Get in the gym and in the locker room, someone will tell you how to become a Christian. And you would ask, when at one time all of those represented Christian truth, what happened? Take it for granted. We've got it. We have truth. And failure to realize that truth will slip away. Truth must be fought for or it is lost. Truth never stays unless it is maintained. That's the book of Jude. That's why Jude says, contend for the faith. If we don't contend for it, we lose it, and it is very easily gone. And therefore, into this cycle, you have the easygoing attitude that could be the beginning of the rejection part and which ends up with the darkness. Thus, under this, we might subdivide a little bit. A book that showed the evidence of darkness, and in the midst of that, we have two focal points, and that is the first one is this. The source of support that Judah had known, the source of support gained by disobedience, and what I mean by that is that Israel and Judah had made alliances for their own support that God said, don't make. God had said, don't ally with Egypt, with these surrounding nations for your support. Don't do that. And yet Israel felt obligated in order to have support to ally with these. And the note of Lamentations is the source of support gained by disobedience became the source of discipline. And we'll look simply at one verse that states it, Lamentations 1:2, right up front in the book. Comes across with that point. Verse 2 says, she weeps bitterly in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. She has none to comfort her among all her lovers. And so the emphasis is that no lover, And the lovers listed in the Old Testament are Egypt, Ammon, Moab, all of the surrounding nations, which God calls her lovers. No lovers, whatever nation it be, no lover supports. It's all gone. And what that means is really all support that is gained by any form of disobedience is buying ultimate discipline. And the tricky thing about that was simply this. Israel allied with these nations, and when she allied with these nations in disobedience to God, what happened? Things got better. The scene looked more stable. But ultimately, discipline. So, principle. Disobedience may improve our lot. Disobedience may improve our lot. But only for the moment. Every support gained by disobedience is only a temporary panacea. So then, under the idea of God gave them a book that showed the end of the light rejection darkness cycle, our first point is the source of support gained by disobedience became the source of discipline. Second, their central calling was lost. And this adds one other note in terms of a darkness period, and that is this. One of the chief indications or the chief evidence of the darkness period is eclipse of purpose. What we are here for is lost. Let's relate that to New Testament times. 1 Timothy 3:15. First Timothy 3:15 makes it very clear what the purpose of the church is. And it does it in very vivid terms. And we can take the purpose of the church and then look at where we are today and ask ourselves, are we in a darkness period? 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But in case I am delayed, I write so that you may know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God." And you can judge for yourself to the extent that this is the description of the church, 20th century United States. Here is the best description of what the church is. It is the pillar and the support of the truth. And to the extent that that is not true is the extent that we have eclipsed our purpose and the extent to which we find ourselves in a period of darkness. All right, a third point then in the darkness period is this. Leadership was absent because no one was qualified. Was personally qualified. Lamentations 1, verse 6. All her majesty has departed from the daughter of Zion. Her princes, and it's a strong word for leadership. Her princes have become like bucks that have no pasture, and they have fled. That's hardly a good description of leadership. Fled without strength before the pursuer. There was no leadership. It was all gone. Final point. Seventh point. Final point. In midst of pain, Judah was called to look to God. And we started out this morning with the little diagram of the first two chapters, the centerpiece. Let's roll all the way back to it somewhere here. And notice that chapter 3 is the centerpiece, but if you divide the 66 verses into 22 three times, then verse 22 would start into the center section. And into that center section you have a remark about God, and in particular, one feature of his character. Chapter 3. And notice verse 22 ends the first third of the center part of the book of Lamentations. And verse 23 begins the middle section of the middle poem in the book of Lamentations. And note the way it reads. Verse 23 speaks of his compassions. They are new every morning. And in the midst of all of the book, we have the words, "Great is thy faithfulness." And thus, they are called upon to focus upon a central thing about the character of God. Is as unfaithful and undependable and disobedient as the nation is, there is one constant. And we might add, in the midst of all of this, this is the only constant in life. That's it. That can be said in the fullest sense of no other. It's the only thing we have to hang on to. Is that God, in the midst of all of this, is faithful to discipline, to respond to repentance, to bless, and to uphold, and to maintain His Word. And thus, it's appropriate that in chapter 5 of Lamentations, the book ends with a prayer. And a prayer is simply saying, focus on God, look to Him, and His dependability, and His faithfulness. Father, we're thankful today for your word, for your dependability, and for your faithfulness in Christ's name.